Miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bow, 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 bow.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back on Cap and J-Hood. Danny Zetterman, our executive producer, is in for Hoodie today. Hoodie is off for a few days for some vacay before baseball gets cranked up. We've got J.R. Strauss, Tyler Aki. I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. Again, as Danny said, Twitch is brought to you, our Twitch channel, by the Marquee Sports Network. Download the ESPN Chicago app. And right there on the front page, you can get the Cap J-Hood podcast, which is getting unbelievable downloads. So if you want to listen to the show later, have some laughs, hear an interview, it's all there. You can get the Armchair Nutritionist podcast on the same front page and the Under the Hood basketball podcast. And by the way, if you missed it last night, Danny's beloved Kansas Jayhawks forgot to get to Indianapolis. They lost 85-51.
I'm not going to make excuses, but I am going to point out that this was a team plagued by COVID. I'd just like you to know that perhaps that was the reason for the lackluster performance, or it just was that USC was too big, too strong, too fast.
That's
those Mobley brothers were unlike anything that we've seen, and we're a smaller team, and we also don't have a senior guard. Marcus Garrett is that guy in the tournament, but we didn't really have that senior guard, that go-to guy that was going to carry us on his back when we needed it.
We're also, as we talk tournament, ask how emotionally invested you get with your teams, your favorite team. Does it devastate you when they lose, especially in a playoff game like the Bears to the Eagles a few years ago in the wild card? That one really stung, or the Cubs or the White Sox. We talked about the Blackhawks, Bulls, not so much because they haven't been very good. And they never lost in the finals when we were really good. But we're playing our favorite game.
You make the call.
Thank you, Harry. Danny's friends hired a nanny because they're going to have to start going back a little bit to the office. And they're still at home, but they wanted the nanny to get comfortable. And they said the nanny's been great, doing a great job. She's an older woman. She's been awesome. And the kids adore her. All's going well until the wife came downstairs, happened to walk around the corner and catch the nanny taking a little sip out of something in her purse. She does a little snooping, and it's alcohol. Not wasted, not slurring her words, doing her job very well, except she's drinking on the job. Would you let the nanny stay? Let's go back to the phones, and we'll go to Richard. He's in Lombard. Hey, Richard, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, Cap?
How you doing? How are you?
I'm fantastic, man. Hey, just quick comment. I love your show.
So appreciate you.
Thank you. And I guess Jay Hood is not on today, but I go to the Lombard Media School, and I know he's a big supporter. So
Richard. He's mentioned you.
Okay. Well, I want to meet him, but I haven't been able to work it out yet. But anyway. I just wanted to say, Cap, I agree with, I think, one of your earlier comments, which is I would sit down with the lady. I would tell my wife, be quiet, just sit there and listen. But I would go two fingers to my eyes and two fingers to your eyes. You ain't doing this. And I learned early in my career, don't mess around. When you're a custodian of other people's children, don't mess around. So you got one shot. One shot, and that's it, man. And if I see anything that makes me think differently, you're gone.
Totally, 1,000% agree with you.
But he's giving her another shot. You were saying that.
No, you're not giving her a second shot.
Yeah, Richard just said he's sitting down talking to her, saying, you know, clean up your act or you're out. You're giving her another shot, right, Richard?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I thought you said she's got to go.
I believe in people, and I would give her one chance, and that's it. And I would be very clear. I would say, hey, man, you don't mess. I had a great friend of mine. He was a boozer, and we would go out boozing together. And he said he adopted two children. He said, "I'm never drinking around those kids, ever, ever." He goes, it's not worth it. He goes, "Those kids are too important to his mother." I agree with that. It's just the way it is. You can't screw around with kids, man.
Yeah, and I can tell you're emotional about it. Richard, we appreciate your call. I can't give her a second chance because you know what? Danny, I was scouting a player. I will not out said player. He played in the NBA.
Kevin Garnett.
No.
Dirk Nowitzki.
No. He had fallen on hard times. No. He had fallen on hard times. He was begging for an opportunity, and I was in it wasn't the CBA. It was a competing league like that. And he had a problem. He said, "I can provide you tests that show I'm clean." And I believed him. I drove down. I met with him. I traveled to him. I looked him in the eye. He's like, "I swear to you, I'm clean, man." It was just a bad week, and security in the NBA got tipped off, and they got me. I'm good. He was a hell of a player. And I was this young, you know, we're good. I believe in you. I'm going to be the guy that gives you a second chance. And we made him take a drug test before the first game he played for us. He joined us about a month into the season. He was by far the best player in the league. It wasn't close. I mean, it's a guy that averaged over 20 a game in the NBA. Now imagine he's playing in a minor league. And he calls me. The team flight is at, let's say, 5 o'clock. Got to be at the airport at 4. We got a testing center set up where he has to give a urine sample at like 3:30 and then get right to the airport. You're 2 minutes from the airport, no problem. At like 4:10, my phone rings. It's him. "Hey, man, I'm running late. I cannot get there. I'll just do the test when I get back." Nope. Either you take that test or you're not getting on that plane. "Dude, my kids were this. I was running late." Now, as soon as he said that, I went, he's using.
Guilty.
I know he's guilty. I said, "If you don't take that test, you will not have a paycheck, and you are not getting on that plane." Okay, he takes the test. Our team plane, we flew commercial, was going Chicago, Seattle, Seattle to Calgary. We were playing the Calgary 88s in Canada. I get a phone call from our trainer as they're changing planes. "I just got the test results. Not good. He's using." I get the next flight the next morning, 6 a.m. I walk into the arena in Calgary. He doesn't know I'm coming. He has no idea. I walk in. Our team is practicing. He walks out of a drill, comes right over to me. He's like, "Hey, man, that test must be wrong because I didn't use." I'm like, "How do you know why I'm here? I travel a lot with the team." Right away, I know I got it.
Screaming guilt.
I said, "Well, guess what? Here's your test result. Cocaine, marijuana." That's no way that's true. I said, "Okay, guess what? We're in Calgary. The Olympics were there that year. The 88s was the name of the team because the Olympics were in 88. We call the Olympic Testing Center. It's still open. Can we go over there and get a drug test for this guy?" 100%. No problem. Me, Bill Murray, not the comedian, the trainer, who ended up working for the New Jersey Devils. We watch him. We have to go in the bathroom with him. Watch him fill a specimen cup. That was not a pleasant experience. Seal it up. He has to put his name on the box. Tape goes over that if it's broken, you know, he could claim it was tampered with. We got all the evidence. Okay, Mitch, is it sealed? Boom. And Bill and I get in a taxi. We take it over there. We wait. They come out. His levels are higher than they were a day earlier. Yeah.
So, wow.
And I release him. I release him.
Well, he lied to your face.
He lied to my face. I release him. Do you know that the NBA called me? He applied for reinstatement like 8 months later. I get a call from the head of NBA security. "Can I ask you why you released him?" I said, "Yeah, 100%. Here's his test levels." Well, he's claiming that those are fraudulent. They were not fair. Blah, 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 blah. They ended up clearing the guy, letting him back in, and he didn't make it. He ended up relapsing, of course.
He got a second chance, and he didn't take advantage of it.
I want to help people. I would beg this lady, do you need help? I'll get you help, but I can't have you around my kids.
Yeah, I appreciate caller Richard got emotional with us.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that he got emotional because I love when somebody cares that much about kids that it brings them to tears. I appreciated that from Richard. It took a lot.
It was raw, real. Peggy Kaczynski,
one of my favorite people in this
business.
She's
awesome. One of the greats in the Chicago media world, and she's got an awesome podcast she does with her son now.
The sportscaster and her son.
Correct. Hi, Peggy. How are you?
Oh, my God. You guys make me laugh, but I'm great. It's good to hear from you guys. This actually happened to me, but not with the nanny, but with one of my old housekeepers, like a cleaning service. And I walked in. She didn't know I was still home. I walked into the kitchen and caught her in the cabinet, the liquor cabinet, took the vodka bottle, took a chug, put it back. And I was standing right in the doorway. She didn't see me. So, you know, you feel terrible. My heart started racing. I mean, it was horrible.
So what did you do?
Well, I, you know, being a good Catholic girl and lots of guilt, I said to her, put it back, put it away. And then I thought about it. And she didn't speak a lot of English. She was Polish. And so I went and found a Polish, treatment center in, like, Wicker Park area, picked up a bilingual pamphlet, called her boss just so the boss would know that it happened, but said, I don't want her to get fired if she gets help. So the boss talked to her. I gave her the flyer. And she quit a week later and went back to Poland. And apparently, I felt terrible because apparently she had been abused by her husband in Poland, escaped, came here, you know, could only get work as a cleaning lady, and then couldn't handle the change of lifestyle. And she left and went back to Poland and went back to him. So I felt terrible, terrible. But it's a hard thing. But I don't think, you know, with kids, whether they love them or not, no, you gotta offer them help or else they're gone.
Peggy, hindsight's 20/20, but knowing what happened after you confronted her, if you could do it again, would you have just let it slide?
No, I would do the exact same thing. I would always offer help. Always, because I feel like as the employer, my employer would get me help. Not that I've ever had to ask for it, of course. Yeah, I'm the employer. I should offer her help first, you know, offer assistance. And then if they, you know, decline it, then I'm really sorry. We love you dearly, but got to let you go.
And would you have been less pissed off if she brought her own booze instead of drinking out of your bottles?
Yeah, hey, any booze. I don't care.
And was she drinking?
I want her a drink after work.
Peggy, was she drinking right out of the bottle or she poured it into a cup at least?
No, Cap, this is pre-COVID, man. It was right out of the bottle.
Wow. Wow.
And I kept the bottle.
Oh, my God.
The alcohol killed all the germs. It's fine.
Wow.
Yeah, right? But it's tough. But, yeah, good topic, you guys. Love to hear you.
You're the best, Peggy. You have a great day.
All right, bye, guys.
See ya. She's the best. I love
her. The best.
312-332-3776. Do you know that I pranked her? I got her good. So we went to dinner. Her husband, I believe his name is Jason.
Yep.
My wife and I and another couple. Six of us. We go to dinner. I know she was at Bears that day. I have the maitre d' come over because I think she had asked Brandon Marshall a question and he had been a jerk at practice. What a shock. And the maitre d' comes over. I paid the maitre d'. I think I gave him $20. I said, go over and ask if there's Peggy Kaczynski at the table. Brandon Marshall's on the phone. Dude, I got her good. Oh, she was like, what? Jumped up and I started laughing. She's like, did you do that? Yes, it was stellar.
Ruined the whole meal.
It was stellar. Take that, Peg. 312-332-3776. We'll get to more of your calls. The White Sox are enlisting me to take the mound. You heard that right. We'll explain that next.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
You're welcome, Mike Thomas, for suggesting you put Springsteen into the rotation. This is so good.
Talking about drinking and driving, I see what JR did there.
What did he do?
Remember, he got a DUI.
They dropped all the charges.
I know.
Yeah.
Springsteen got a DUI, not me. Let's make that clear.
JR.
Thank you.
JR never, he lost his license long ago. He would never drink and drive.
Correct. Anyway, you got to be clear-minded as he's rolling all those. Never mind. 312-332-3776. So the White Sox are having a day at the ballpark on the 31st, which is next Wednesday, I believe. Is that correct?
Correct. March 31st, 11 a.m.
11 a.m. The White Sox are having a radar gun.
Speed pitch challenge is being called.
Correct. And while I have no illusions that I'm going to be throwing hard, it's more about location, like real estate. It's location, 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 as I keep telling you that.
I just want to clarify. You're officially doing this. We're saying right now on the air, March 23rd, it's 9:22 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You're officially doing the speed pitch challenge.
I am, correct.
Okay.
So I spoke to a good friend of mine from the White Sox, my friend George. He said, hey, we would like one of the personalities to come out. At 11, he said, I know Carm is a huge Sox fan. Carm's on the air then. Waddle and Sylvie are getting ready for their show. He's like, well, Junior, I know you're a Cubs fan first, but I know you also bought tickets to come see us a bunch this year. Why don't you come out? And Mike Thomas, our esteemed boss, said, done. So I'm in. Next Wednesday, I will be doing the speed pitch challenge, but I feel like I'm going to be that guy in the Geico commercial, you know, where the lady in the dragster takes off and she just destroys him and he's going like 2 miles an hour right down the thing, but he saved $48 with Geico or Allstate. I think it's an Allstate ad. That'll be me, but I am going to be there.
Okay, here's what's perfect about this. You know, sometimes things work out in a great way.
Mm-hmm.
You've been talking about pitching in this over 40 league. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So you're going to be a pitcher in an over 40 league. We've talked about how you need to get your arm in shape.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about wanting to see how fast you can pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And now the White Sox throw this opportunity in your direction.
Correct.
My question for you is, have you been preparing your arm?
I've been working out, doing a bunch of shoulder exercises along with my regular workouts that Tommy Hotovy suggested, band pull-aparts and these different front, back, and side shoulder work. But to think I can just walk up, pick a ball up, and fire it 70 miles an hour? No shot.
Have you even thrown a baseball since you announced that you were going to do this? Now, I know you have that rubber ball, and you like to walk the hall and throw it against the wall. That's not the same thing as throwing a legit baseball.
Yeah, I have not.
You have not?
No.
And listen, I've even offered to play catch with you. You know I have.
You have.
Outside of work.
Correct.
I have offered for you to come to my house or to my kids' baseball practice, and I've offered to play catch with you. Like, I don't want you to have on the 31st any excuses if that ball rolls over the plate. Is this a 90? Is this from 90 feet, or, like, what's the distance?
60 feet, 6 inches.
60 feet, 6 inches?
Yeah. 90 feet's the base.
Yeah, that's I meant 60 feet. I'm getting the 46 feet because that's what my son pitches from.
Right.
So I got my spaces all messed up.
So I will be there on the 31st at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Are we going to throw the ball beforehand at all?
Yeah, my buddy Chris Fogarty said he'll catch me this weekend.
And what is the over-under on speed that you think you're going to hit?
Wow. I'm going to say 54.
Way under.
Yeah, there's no way 54.
No shot.
Zero shot. I bet you don't
48?
Even get 44.
Yeah, you won't break 45.
All right, the over-under's 45.
You don't think you'll break 45?
No, I don't think so.
No.
No. Mellor told a story about the great Tom Waddle throwing a ball at a fair, and I think Waddle couldn't break 45. Now, Waddle's physically in...
But also, aren't those fair things pretty jacked? Like, those things aren't real. They don't know what they're spitting out.
Listen, I don't know if Cap... Especially if he hasn't been working those muscles out, like hasn't thrown a ball.
I think if he works really hard and stretches out and does some weight training, he could maybe hit 42.
I don't think so. I'm going 38.
So set the over-under. What number is it that I've got to beat here?
Well, you said 50. What did you say, 54?
Yeah, and then JR said no shot. No,
so let's make it 43 and a half. The over-under is 43 and a half.
I think he'll obliterate that.
43 and a half.
I think you're really underestimating how slow 40-something mile per hour is.
Have you seen Cap throw?
It doesn't matter.
I'll say this. I've been in the gym with Cap, and he's very strong. Now, I don't know how being strong correlates to throwing a ball, but he is very strong. However, if you're not throwing a ball, and this is a week away, how fast do you really think you're going to do it? Also, time is not on your side. You get out of here at about 10:30.
Right.
You're going to have to rush to Guaranteed Rate Field, rush to get in there. You might have zero time to warm up, right?
Correct.
That's going to affect the velocity. I'm going under 43 and a half.
All right. We'll see how it goes. A good friend of mine, my friend Michael Allardyce, I think they have a nanny.
Is she drunk?
I don't know. I'm going to find out. Hey, Michael. Michael, you there? Hold on. He's there somewhere. Mike.
Yeah, hey.
There you go. So, do you have a nanny?
Yes, we have a 1.5-year-old at home with a nanny.
Okay, if you heard your nanny was having just a nip here or there on the bottle, what would you say?
She's gone. I think the thing you have to understand about toddlers are they are little suicide machines, and you have to be on your A game to make sure that they are healthy or not getting into something that will hurt them or worse, kill them. We actually had an issue with a nanny where she was listening to AirPods in her ears while watching him. And for us, that was we'll have a conversation. Don't do it again, because, she didn't know, and we're giving her the benefit of the doubt. But I think if that's like the thing that we're giving one shot for, drinking while watching the kid, like that's a deal breaker. You're done.
Would you ever have a glass of wine at dinner with your kids there?
No, I don't drink anyway, though, so it's not really a something that I'd ever have to encounter or decide upon. But my wife, she doesn't drink when our kid's awake or around.
So it's the kids in bed asleep. Now I can unwind and have a glass of wine.
Hey, Michael, is the 1.5-year-old your only child?
Yes.
All right. I feel like that changes when you have more kids. Like, I've got 3, and my house is such a circus that, yeah, we're having a glass of wine with dinner. When it's only one, I could see being like, all right, we're not going to drink in front of the kids. We want everything to be perfect and tidy and neat. And the EarPod thing is different, because with EarPods in, they can't hear if the kid's getting in trouble or hear screams or hear the kid complaining about something. Like, that's taking away one of their senses. I'm not defending the drinking by any means, but I'm just saying with EarPods in, you're kind of totally blocking out the outside world at times.
Yeah, it was like a in one ear on the phone kind of thing, but more so I think what was concerning for us is like when he was down for a nap and she had the monitor, she had them both in. And there were times, like, I could come downstairs, and she had no idea that I'd even come downstairs. She couldn't hear me. And if that's the case, then if, like, he throws up or is choking on his own vomit in the bed or something, then she can't hear that at all. So, but, yeah, I do think having friends who have multiple kids, like, I do think that kind of changes your perspective, because you're used to the chaos and being distracted to some degree kind of at all times by at least one kid.
Michael, thanks, man. Have a great day, okay?
You too. Love you, Cap.
You're the best.
Listen, when
Michael
we had,
Allardyce.
When we had one child, like if he fell down and was crying, we both rushed to him like it was the end of the world. Now that I have 3, if one of them's crying, me and my wife look at each other and we're like, they'll be all right.
Danny, when I remember being in my mom's old Rambler, like it was a big deal, she got this used Rambler. That was the name of the car. And there were no seatbelts in the back.
Oh, no.
None. I would ride my bike to my friend Tad Slowick's house with no helmet. Helmet? We didn't have helmets. I learned to ride with no hands. So I would just sit back on my bike and ride with my arms crossed. Like, now, oh my God. Johnny, do you have elbow pads on? Susie, do you have your knee pads on and you have your helmet on? And you, really? Like, oh my God.
We used to sit in the back of a station wagon, like six of us, just flopping around as the car would turn.
Right.
No seatbelts, just kind of laying. God forbid someone rear-ended that station wagon, we'd all be in trouble.
There was a smoking section on the plane. Like, life was different, man.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, we know more.
312-332-3776. Shot or no shot? Next.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
Another good song. Welcome back, Cap Jay Hood Show. Danny's in for Hoodie, who's on vacay. Brian Hanley in with me the next couple days. Looking forward to that. Connor's going to be here next week. No analytics talk, Connor. 312-332.
No, you're not.
I kind of am serious. 312-332-3776. Shot or no shot. Brought to you by PointsBet. PointsBet Sportsbook is here. Visit us at Hawthorne Racecourse and experience Illinois' premium sportsbook. But first, download the PointsBet app and get $100 in free bets when you deposit $20 with the code ESPN.
No shot with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
All this weed talk, he's eager to move the clock forward and get out of here.
He's got the trigger finger today.
All right, time for shot, no shot. Tyler!
All right, gentlemen. So right now, the two powerhouse conferences, the Big Ten and the Big 12, each with just one team remaining in the NCAA tournament as we move on to the Sweet 16. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, we should have seen this coming with these two teams, and they're now showing their true colors.
Danny?
I'm going to say no shot that we should have seen this coming. I think, you know, with this odd COVID year, the way they've been in the bubble, the way that the conference tournaments, some teams were not able to finish the conference tournaments, other teams were. I think we realized anything could happen and any team could win. So I don't think we should have seen this coming. I think it's disappointing. I think especially if you're a Big 12 or Big 10 fan, because those were the two best conferences in college basketball this year. But I think no shot we should have predicted that this was coming.
Yeah, I'm going to say, read it one more time. I want to make sure I phrase this right.
So are these two conferences showing their true colors right now, and we should have maybe seen this coming?
Yeah, shot. Absolute shot. And I think that when they do the seedings the next year, the awful performance this year should be part of the criteria. Guess what? We put nine of your teams in. No. Sorry, we're not going to give you as many teams, or we're going to see you lower because you guys whizzed on your leg. And the Pac-12, we underestimated you, and you guys are undefeated. Yeah, you're going to get a little more street cred. So, yeah, shot.
All right.
I think you're crazy to say that they should hold against the teams next year the performances of this year. You as a
should be one factor.
But you as a former college coach know that a team from one year to the next can be drastically different. Take my beloved Kansas Jayhawks. Last year, if there was a tournament, they were the favorite to win it all.
Mm-hmm.
This year's Kansas team was down. It was a bad Kansas team.
Well, and they also
team.
Had to deal with COVID. People are underestimating the effect of that.
Sure, absolutely. But like to hold like Iowa next year, to hold against them the performance of this Iowa team would be unfair to the freshman studs that they might have coming in.
No, my point is that when they look at net rating, strength of schedule, KenPom numbers, whatever it is they do, there should be another one. Past performance. Like Ohio U should get a little street cred for winning a game in the tournament. 100%. Loyola being an 8 seed, Loyola being, what were they, an 11 when they went to the Final Four? If I'm in that room, I'm like, folks, let your eyes tell you how good that team is, not what their strength of schedule is, because people won't play them. And look at past performance. That should be one factor.
All right.
Tyler, as the college basketball expert here at ESPN 1000 Chicago, what do you think?
I think that the Big Ten, you could kind of see it coming because there were some teams that were sputtering towards the end of the year. The Big 12, I'm shocked by. The fact that we're not seeing a Texas, Oklahoma State, and even Kansas, the fact that all of those teams are knocked out right now, I was very shocked to see. So, next up, we've got Coby White. He has not played 30-plus minutes in the last six games for the Chicago Bulls. Buried in the madness yesterday, they get crushed by the Utah Jazz. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, Coby White is the starting point guard for the Chicago Bulls next season.
No shot. It was a bad draft pick if you thought he was a point guard. It's an okay draft pick if you want him as like a sixth man type guy. Coby White at this point has shown you no ability to be a lead guard on a contending team. He just isn't. And the fact that I think Sunday's game, you can go back, check the box score. I'm positive I'm right on this. He played two more minutes than Ryan Archie Diacono, who was basically a walk-on for the Bulls. He was an undrafted guy. He's hung in there because he competes. He's got a great, great ability to take charges, make a few big shots. If Coby White, the seventh overall pick, is getting two more minutes than Ryan Archie Diacono, and they don't think he's the guy, then it was a bad pick.
I'm going to say no shot simply because, like Cap said, Coby White is not a lead point guard in the NBA. I'm a big fan of Coby White, and I think he can put up some big numbers scoring-wise. And I think he should have had a nice niche being the sixth man off the bench, coming in and giving the Bulls that microwave quick points. Unfortunately, I think he's losing the coaches, judged by the playing time going down and the fact that he's moving further and further down the bench.
All right. And then lastly, we got here, Danny, your hair has been one of the hot topics.
Looks like a hockey player, doesn't he?
In the Twitch chat. He's got some flow. He's got some flow going for
him. I used to have hair like that. That's the amazing thing. I got nothing.
Anyway, shot or no shot, once we're on the other side of the pandemic, you're going to keep the flow.
There's a shot. There's a 100% shot.
Why would you cut that?
Well, here's the thing, right? I was getting annoyed with it. Like, this was a pandemic thing, you know. In normal situations, I used to get a haircut every 3 weeks. To the minute, I would schedule it every Thursday, 3 weeks apart. I needed my hair clean and tight. Then the pandemic hit, and I thought to myself, all right, I'm never going to get a chance to do this again. I'm just going to do it. So last Friday, I'm driving home, and I was like, you know what? The hell with it. I'm going to cut off my hair. And I called my wife, who's hated this all along. She's literally looked me in the eyes and said, I hate long hair. And I called her and I said, hey, you got anything going on? Because I'm going to stop and get a haircut on the way home. And she's like, why would you cut your hair? It looks good. I think you should leave it. So now I'm at this point of a conundrum whether this is my look or not. I'm going to keep it for now. Maybe when the pandemic ends, if I don't look too much like a 1980s rock star, or as Sylvie complimented me, said I look like Eddie Vedder from the 90s, maybe I'll keep it.
A little more Bono.
I would keep it.
I don't remember Bono with long hair. The Bono that I remember is the slick back hair. I know the early Bono had the long hair.
To be honest, I don't remember Danny with short hair now. Because I didn't know you for that long in the short hair era.
That is true. Now you only know me as long hair Danny.
I think it's awesome.
But what about professional? Like, right now, nobody comes to the office. We kind of get away with being a little bit different. But when there's, like, partners coming in and clients coming in, and it's
so
like,
what?
I don't know. I look like I'm going to a Pearl Jam concert.
Danny, be you. Do you think that I give a flying rip what people think? I got some of the most out there bizarre takes. As Sylvie said, I live in bizarro world, and I'm okay with that.
But here's the difference. Like, what you do, you can get away with that. Like, the way you dress, your opinions, your strong takes. Like, your career path and goals in life are different than mine. Like, I want to be sitting in one of those
big... You want to be a banker?
I want to sit in one of those big offices one day. Although our boss, Mike Thomas, is a let-your-hair-down kind of guy. He's got tattoos, short sleeves.
Yes.
He lets us wear shorts and T-shirts.
Mike's
so
awesome.
So he's very cool. Just, you know, as my career hopefully goes to the next level, you know, and we'll see if it's fitting. But
yeah.
thank you for inquiring about that, Twitch. Shout out to Twitch. Everyone can watch on Twitch.
Keep the hair, man. Like, Mike's Mike. He may wear a T-shirt one day. He may be dressed up to go to a business meeting the next day.
But Mike's also got, like,
he just needs some help with his music once
world-class resume that can, you know, like he can show up to a meeting with the forearms popping and the tattoos all over it, and you know what he's accomplished in this business.
Let me just tell you one quick note. Remember the late Bob Collins?
Of course.
He was number one in the ratings for 52 straight ratings books till he tragically died.
Yes.
He would wear like a leather Harley vest with a t-shirt underneath and jeans. And one day, I'm like, where are you going so quickly? He said, I've got a meeting with John Madigan and Dennis Fitzsimons and Jim Dowdle. They're taking me to lunch. The three guys that were the highest ranking in the entire multi-billion dollar Tribune company. I'm like, oh, do you have your like dress clothes in the office? He's like, what do you mean? I go, you're going like that with a Harley T? He goes, kid, when you get to the point where you understand to just, this is who you are. If you don't like who I am, don't have me. But this is who I am, then you'll be comfortable in your skin. Quit trying to put on airs.
But, and I'm like, but again, he's an on-air guy like you. Like the, I feel like it's different paths.
Disagree. This isn't.
I know who I am. I'm comfortable with
who
I am.
This is not Disney. Be Danny.
I'm going to have a sit down with Mike and Craig and discuss their thoughts on the hair.
I think the hair is great.
Well, thank you.
312-332-3776. Are you done, Tyler?
Yeah, that's all of them.
That was it.
All
we right. Do four, Tyler. Four shot or no shot questions every day.
And then we get screwed out of a Kim Kardashian.
Anything on
one.
Kim Kardashian?
I got no Kim K. Sorry.
All right. We will come back and get
Tyler's
to...
got a list for us.
He does?
Of the top 10 jobs young kids want today.
How young are the kids?
I don't know. He'll fill us in.
All right. It's all coming up in your calls. Next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
$9.50. Hope you've had some fun with us. Cap Jay Hood Show hoodie on. Vacay. Enjoy your time, kid. 312-332-3776. How about this really quick note? Adam Schefter just tweeted. One of my favorite players in this draft is Alabama running back Najee Harris. He is now in Dallas training for the NFL draft. Alabama's pro day is today, just starting right now. Najee Harris is probably going to go late first round. Obviously, the Bears can't take a running back in the first round. But if he was there in the second round or there was a way to trade back up, he is an impact guy, pass catcher, runner, blocker. He's a stud. I mean, he's phenomenal. So he was flying last night, Dallas to Birmingham, and then a buddy was picking him up, getting him back to campus. Pro day is today. Like, every team will be there. And he gets to the airport, flight is canceled. Lightning. Can't get you out. He's going to miss pro day. But he's Najee Harris. I mean, you got enough game tape on him. What do you think he did?
Rented a car and drove.
That's exactly right. A 9-hour drive. He said, I'll be there by 10 a.m. and I'll be ready to go. And he got in the car. 9 hours. That's a guy with want to. If I'm the Bears, stop yourself. I need impact guys that make plays.
I love his determination to get there. I do wonder if that's going to affect him in a negative way. You know, you drive 9 hours, you're tired. You feel different when you sit in a car for 9 hours. I remember when I used to drive to school in Kansas, it's a 9-hour drive. I would get out and I would feel like bloated and gassy and like all cramped up. I couldn't imagine then having to have the workout of my life in front of people that are going to determine my future. Like, he might have made the wrong move based on his results. Because, by like, you know, you're like, oh, he's Najee Harris. He didn't need to do it. Maybe he would have been better off not.
But if you're the Bears and you bring him in and you say, you know, your 40 time was 4.6 instead of 4.5 or 4.5 instead of 4.4, whatever it is. Or your this was a little down. Can you explain that? Yeah. I drove 9 hours so I can make sure I was there.
Well, the back end of that Schefter tweet says he's not even working out. He's just going to go support his teammates. So he's not even going to be working out at this thing.
He's just going to support his teammates. Yeah, I think he's doing his measurables, though.
Is he?
Okay. Yeah, he's not going to do any football stuff.
Well, that's even cooler. If he's driving 9 hours to support his teammates, that's a guy you want in the locker room. I know you're a big in-the-room culture guy.
Yeah.
That's a guy you want in the room.
And don't tell Abdallah's not listening. He's still sleeping.
I mean, hold on. I'm in Hoodie's chair. Hold on.
You can hear Black and Abdallah, the two little dudes from Libertyville, at 6 every night. We need more Alabama players. I'm just saying. We need some freaking winners. Yep. I want winners.
I want winners, too.
And that guy, Najee Harris, that's a winner, man.
I want winners.
Thank you, Mike. Exactly right. All right, Tyler, you found this story of what kids today want for their top 10 occupation. Like when Danny and I were growing up, I'm older than Danny. I want to be a fireman. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a police officer.
I want to be a doctor.
Right. Lawyer, whatever. Or a quarterback.
Yeah, so there's a tweet being sent around, and top 10 jobs kids want today. What do you think? I'll tell you this. I'm looking through them right now, and two of them did not exist when you guys were growing up.
I guarantee one of them is social media influencer or, like, social media type person, like, for a company, like a marketer or social media. Some sort of social media marketer.
I'm going to say one of them is a vlogger.
So that is number two, blogger slash vlogger, 18%. Number one is right down Danny's alley here, YouTuber at 34%.
That's number one?
Yep.
Wow. What do you want to do, little Johnny? I want to be on YouTube.
Really?
That's what's crazy about this world. Like, back in the day, to be famous, you actually had to do something to be famous. And now fame is almost attainable for anyone, whether you have a skill or talent or not.
Right.
You have to strike lightning.
Like, there's some dude named Ninja sitting in his house playing Fortnite, making millions.
But that guy's got an actual talent, right? He's like the Michael Jordan of playing Fortnite.
Yeah, I was really good at in television one day.
Yeah, but you have to be create. Like, if you're going to be a successful YouTuber and you have to make that your job, you have to be good at it. You have to have a skill for creativity, for entertainment, all that stuff.
But, like, here's where I'll disagree. So I have the podcast, The Armchair Nutritionist. You can get it on the ESPN Chicago app. Please download it and enjoy. But I had a health and fitness influencer on. His name was Eric Hinman. All he does is work out, Cap. He's just in great shape. He watches what he eats. He works out. And then he poses with products shirtless. And companies pay him a lot of money. I mean, he's making six figures a year for doing this. So his whole life is basically working out, watching what he eats, which we like to do anyways. But because he stays in such great shape, companies throw money at him to jog in their shoes or take their ice baths or use their products and pay him a fortune. Now, that's not necessarily a skill, right? He didn't go
to
school
for that. Yeah, but how is that any different than a pro athlete?
Well, but a pro athlete has a skill. LeBron James is better at basketball than anyone. This guy has no skill.
Dedication to working out that much would be a skill.
Yeah, what about a supermodel? People are like, oh, what a skill does she have?
Genetics.
She
didn't do anything for that.
That's my point. She's genetically, you know, looks like that and obviously works out to stay like that.
Here's where I'll argue with you, Tyler. Like, Steph Curry is the greatest shooter of all time. Mm-hmm. He's worked on that. That's a skill. There's probably hundreds of people listening to my voice right now that take their shirt off that look really good that could probably put Carmen's one of them. You could give Carmen a product. He could take his shirt off. Somebody's going to be like, boy, that guy could sell products.
Yeah, but you have to work at that. You have to work out. That's a skill.
But my point is more people can do that than can hit three-pointers from half court.
Yeah.
More people can do that than Patrick Mahomes throwing off, you know, one knee behind his back to the end zone in the Super Bowl, and it's almost a touchdown.
Yeah, but it's the dedication to that time and time again.
And how old are the kids you said that did this survey?
It doesn't say.
Okay.
Other cool occupations?
The other ones are all pretty standard. Number three, musician, singer. Four, actor. Five, filmmaker. Six, doctor/nurse. Seven, TV presenter. 8, athlete/teacher, 9, writer, and 10, lawyer.
What was 8?
8 was athlete and teacher. I think they were both tied.
And 9, go ahead again.
9 was a writer, and 10 was a lawyer.
I'm surprised athlete's so low. I feel like when we were young, if we were quizzed, it would all be athlete number one.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of dedication.
It's a lot easier to be a vlogger.
Also true.
Or a YouTube star.
Or as Waddle calls them, vloggers. We will come back and crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko in 2 minutes. Take that.